All right, Javosai, good evening. Let's begin. So I want to share with you a very, very beautiful idea by the Rebbe. So remember, again, we're going to start on the first page. You'll just take a look at the Pasuk, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayichazek leif paro. So the Ribono Shel Olam strengthened, he hardened Paro's heart. V'lo shama aleihem kasher diber Hashem. And Paro did not listen to Moshe and to Aaron, just as the Ribono Shel Olam had predicted. So Rabbi Nachman here has such a magnificent, beautiful, and sweet insight. So look where he says by paragraph A. Vayichazek leif paro. So we're going to look at this piece together. He says, Koma she'avra al Yisrael b'yitzias Mitzrayim v'kabalas ha-Torah. Everything that happened to Klal Yisrael during Yitzias Ram, during the Exodus, and afterwards by Kabbalah Satorah, by the reception of the Torah, by Har Sinai, v'achakach, v'chala milchomos, lichvosh Eretz Yisrael, and all the wars to conquer Eretz Yisrael, v'chol masha avar aleinu achakach, and everything that happened to Klal Yisrael afterwards, hakol, kasher lakol over al kol adam, shirotze lezakos dechayi olam. So also, Rabbi Nachman says something absolutely amazing. The Rebbe explains that all that occurred to us as a people, ultimately, again, is almost like a microcosm. It's almost like a microcosm as to what has gone ahead. See if sheets over there. That's okay. It's a microcosm, ultimately, as to what happens to every individual. And I will say now, what the Rebbe is doing is a little bit of the reverse. You see, sometimes the way we look at things is we assume that whatever happens to the yachid, whatever happens to the individual, often is reflective as to what happens to the klal. The Rebbe is saying the opposite. That the stories that we have that speak about the klal are often reflective as to what occurs to the yachid. The challenges that we read. Let me take a step back. What's bothering Rabbi Nachman? So I'll say what's bothering Rabbi Nachman is, I think, what bothers many of us in these parashios, which is that we look at these parashios and we wonder to ourselves, why all of the detail, right? We spend so much time focusing on this story with Paro, that Paro hardened his heart. And then Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Paro, let my people go. Paro says yes. Then Paro changes his mind. Then Paro says okay. Then Paro changes his mind. And all of the back and forth, and this Naka, and that Naka. And we're left with one simple question, which is, what's the point of all this? Meaning, why? It's an interesting story, but remember, as we've said many a times, the Torah is not a storybook. And therefore, again, we have to ask ourselves, why is it that the Torah feels the need to include all of the details of this narrative? Why all of this back and forth? Why all the discussion about Paro hardening his heart, saying yes, then saying no? And the Rebbe says something amazing. The Rebbe says that's because everything that happens here with Bnei Yisrael, everything that happens over here with Paro, is representative of the struggles that each and every one of us go through in life. In fact, says the Rebbe something even more. All of the stories of the trials and tribulations of Klal Yisrael, both what we have over here in this week's parasha, when we leave Egypt, the struggles in the desert, the wars when we get to Eretz Yisrael, every single one of these struggles is not just representative of the struggles of the Klal, but they're also representative of the struggles of the individual as well. What does this mean? He says, La kol over al kol adam, sherotze liskos lechai olam. Every single person, Rabbi Osai, who wants more holiness in life, every single person who wants more kiddusha in life, every single person who wants more in life, encounters these very struggles. Shebehechrech, sheyavor alof, kama minei milchamos belishir. So Rabbi Osai, when a person wants more in life, when I want more ruchnius, I want more holiness, I want more goodness, I want more spirituality, by definition, I'm going to encounter milchama. There are going to be struggles. And the more I want to strengthen myself in my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my service of God, this is an incredible yisod. You see, we often erroneously think that what? That the more I try, right? The harder I try in life to go ahead and overcome my struggles, the harder I try and the more I'm able to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the less struggles I will encounter. So we assume that Ruchnius is like almost anything else in life. So what happens if I want to be a good basketball player? Right? So what's the secret? That's the secret.
Practice.
Practice. And the more I practice, what happens?
The better.
The better I get. So meaning, so the 3-point shot becomes easier the more that I practice. It doesn't become harder. That's the derech. I want to be a better doctor. I want to be a better lawyer. I want to be a better accountant. Whatever it is, the more that I do, the more that I practice, the easier the malacha becomes. That is true in everything in life. The one dramatic exception to this rule is spirituality. That the stronger I become and the closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu I get, the more acute the challenges become. And therefore, says the Rebbe, the more you want to strengthen your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more you want to strengthen your avodas Hashem, miskabrim b'chol pam yoser u'biprat v'aschala, the greater the challenges become. This is the great anomaly in spirituality. The stronger I become spiritually, the more intense, acute, and frequent the nisyonos, the tests become. Paragraph B. And now, the Rebbe suggests over here that this model is captured in this parsha of Paro. He says, what does this mean? Kimo shahaya b'yitzias Yisrael. So let's take a look at the story of Yitzias Yisrael. What happened with Yitzias Yisrael? Right? Shebetekif, kesheba Moshe al par lehotzias Yisrael. So we'll say, so the Rebbe understands this story not only just as an actual story, but also as a metaphor. What happens? Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Paro. And what does Moshe Rabbeinu say to Paro? Shalach es b'nei Yisrael. Right? Send the Jewish people out. So in the Rebbe's metaphorical understanding, so Moshe Rabbeinu is me, Moshe Rabbeinu is you. And what happens? Comes before Paro. Who's Paro? Paro's the Yitzhara. And what is this? What do I say to Paro? Shalach es ami. Let me go. Let me go. Bless you. Release me from your grip. Let me serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let me be a good Jew. Let me learn Torah. Let me do mitzvos. Let release your hold on me. All I want to do is do what's good in life. And what does Paro say? V'amar, tichbad ha'avoda. Remember again, what does Paro say in the end of last week's parasha? Oh, you want to go free? Oh, you want to be better? You want to be holier? I'm going to intensify the shibud. I'm going to intensify the servitude. Intensify the slavery. Ki asitra achra, kisheroa shebat tzadik amiti b'chinas Moshe, verotze lahotzi ish ha-yisraeli migolas nafsho. Because we'll say the way the Yitzhara works is that when the Yitzhara sees that we want to emancipate ourselves, when the Yitzhara sees that we want to be better, that we want to be stronger, that we want to be holier, so what does the Yitzhara do? Hu misgara, umiskaber alav yoser v'yoser, umachbid alav all. Turn the page, paragraph C, ha'olam hazeh. So we'll say, listen to this. The Yetzer Hara, when it perceives that I'm fighting against it, trying to free myself, ultimately trying to become greater, better, holier, what does the Yetzer Hara do? Two words, tichbat ha'avoda, fights back. You're going to try to free yourself from me, I'm going to insert myself even more. And what does the Yetzer Hara do? The Yetzer Hara drowns us in tivus and desires. Parnasa, I will say, Parnasa could be an incredible bracha, and that same bracha could turn into a klala. Right? Remember again, a person, Baruch Hashem, could have a lot of Parnasa, which is wonderful, but the moment that Parnasa overtakes my life in its entirety, it's no longer a bracha. Achekasha alav lozuz mimkomo, loshuv l'Hashem yisbarach, to the point that ultimately, again, I can't move, to the point that I'm suffocated by my desires, I'm suffocated by my Parnasa, and I can't make any headway in my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what I see what the Rebbe is saying over here, this is amazing. These parshas, this story, says Rabbi Nachman, of the struggle between Moshe and Paro is also a metaphorical description of the struggle of the Jew to grow spiritually. So we'll say, think about this in just a moment. Right? Last week's parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu meets HaKadosh Baruch Hu by the snap, by the burning bush. And God says to Moshe, you're my man. I want you to go to Paro and tell Paro, God has sent you and free the Jews. So if you're Moshe Rabbeinu, what are you expecting? What are you expecting?
It's going to work.
It's going to work. Right? You're going to show up, you're the man of God, you're even using God's script, you're going to say to Paro, let the people go, Paro's going to say, absolutely, let me help you pack. Right? Because in life we assume that when you want to do the right thing, things should fall into place. Except, says the Rebbe, that's not how it works in the world of spirituality. In the world of Ruchnius, the more holiness you want, the greater the struggle to acquire it becomes. The more you advance, the more the Yetzer Hara pushes back against you. And that struggle is symbolized in this push and pull between Moshe and Paro. Moshe represents the Jew trying to reach higher spiritual heights, and every single time Moshe, the Jew, says, Shalach es ami, let me go, let me come close to God, let me serve the Moshe, what does Paro say? Tichbad ha'avoda. You're going to fight back against me? I'm going to come back even harsher. And every single time the Jew wants to extricate himself from the grips of the Yetzer Hara fights back. Paro fights back. Tichbad ha'avoda. Aval derech Yisrael, I'm in paragraph C, third line in. Aval derech Yisrael am kadosh, shein tov sin amuna savosehem biyadeyem. But what do we, so what do we do? What do we do in those moments when we want to grow? But Paro the Yetzer Hara says, Tichbad ha'avoda. Right? Paro the Yetzer Hara intensifies the desires, intensifies the wants, intensifies the pushes and pulls that act upon us. So what do we do in that moment? We daven. It's Tzoakim el Hashem. Va'al yidei zeh, machniin b'chol pam paro v'chayelosav, shema sitra acha v'kito sehem. See, Rabbi Osai, we all have those moments in life where, you know, we're trying to fight against the Yetzer Hara, and I realize that I can't win this battle. I can't. I'm going to try my best, but I don't think I can win this battle. What do you do when you can't win the battle against the Yetzer Hara? What do? You daven. You know, we'll say, there's a beautiful Gemara of Maseches Brachos. The Gemara says that there is nothing more powerful in this world than the Yetzer Hara. And ilmalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ozro, if not for the fact that God helps us every single day to overcome the Yetzer Hara, we would be powerless. The idea is, I need Siyata Dishmaya. I need to reach out to God to help me overcome my challenges. I can't overcome my challenges by myself. He'll say, here's the amazing part about the Yetzer Hara. There is no more resilient force in this universe than the Yetzer Hara. Because what happens in the Yetzer Hara? Even when you manage to beat it back, even when you manage to overcome it for a little bit, what does it do? What does it do? It doesn't just come back. But right, what is it? It comes back with a fury. Right? It comes back with a vengeance. And it comes back. We'll say, you know, by the way, I mean, you're all tzaddikim, so I'll tell you how it is. But, you know, this is one of the most frustrating things when it comes to spirituality. I could work on myself. I could be so good. And I can maintain such a wonderful level of bear. And then what? And then I slip. And then I slip. And I wonder to myself, like, how did that happen? Doesn't even make any sense. I was so good for such a long time, and then I had this lapse. How did that happen? It's illogical, because I was saying everything else in life, the more proficient you become in something, the less you have to try to be good at it. And yet in spirituality, the harder I try, it just seems the more intense the pushback becomes. That's the Yetzer Hara. And even if you beat back Paro, even if you beat back the Yetzer Hara for a little bit, what happens? He says, V'chein pam achar pam kam pam kamo Paro. Paragraph D. Shebechol eis. Sheba alav izemaka nichna kitzas. What happened with Paro? You know, Dam came and Paro was beaten back a little bit. But then what happens when the blood is gone? Paro comes back with a fury. And over and over and over, this same dynamic repeats itself. Paro is beaten back into submission for a little bit of time. But then when Paro comes, when Paro comes back, he comes back with even a stronger heart. Aval achar kach chazir v'hisgaber, kimo shekasov, v'yichazek leif paro, v'yach beides libo. So Paro, who represents the Yetzer Hara, you could beat the Yetzer Hara into submission sometimes, but just wait, because the moment is going to come when the Yetzer Hara is going to come back. And when that Yetzer Hara comes back, he comes back with a vengeance. And he comes back with a determination to get you to do what you want, and he comes what he wants. And he comes back with a determination that he is not going to let you go. And even after HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought upon Paro, all Makas, right? Going back to the Paro story. Boshan brings about Paro 10 Makas, right? Makas Bechoros being the most debilitating. When the Paro says, fine, get out of here. I can't take this anymore. Get out of here. What happens after Klal Yisrael leaves? Chazer v'kibetz kol chelosav v'radav achareyam. So what happens? 10 makas. Paro finally yields. Klal Yisrael goes out. What happens? They're gone a couple of days, and what does Paro do? He assembles his army, and he runs after them. We'll say, this is the Yetzer Hara. He says, Ukimokein, mamish over al kol adam b'chol zman. This is what happens to every single person all the time. V'chol echad yachol lahavin ba'atzmo. Every person could see this dynamic in themselves. Kol ze lefi b'chinoso v'arko. Ech she'ovrim alof kama alios v'yiridos. Habosai, we see this. This story of Paro, Habosai, is not just a historical national story. This story of Paro is the story of our everyday lives. We beat back Paro for a little bit, and then he comes back. And no matter how many times you seem to beat him into submission, he's never gone. He's never gone. You think you're out of Mitzrayim, you think you're scot-free, you think you're great, and then what happens? He gets his army together, and he runs after you in hot pursuit. He says, "Bechinas golos ki ikar hagolos hu golos nefesh." Skip down a little bit. Say paragraph E. Say if you skip down va'afilu, look at the last three lines of paragraph E. But say the Rebbe explains something amazing over here. Va'afilu la'acher matan Torah. So the Rebbe says, just see how this plays out. What happens after matan Torah? Right? Kadosh Baruch Hu bichvado ba'atzmo speaks to us at Har Sinai. And what happens right after that? What happens right after that? He says, Shekvar paska zuhumasan v'haya lehem chirus mimalach hamaves. So the Rebbe here quotes the idea of us saying that it was at Matan Torah, it was at Har Sinai. Paska zuhumasan means that, you know, there was a certain impurity that was injected into mankind by the Nachash. It's called the Zuhuma, an impurity. That impurity was removed at Har Sinai, to the point that the Zohar brings down that literally after we said Nasa v'Nishma, even the Malach HaMoves had no control over us. So after we accept the Torah Mamish on the highest of highs, and what happens? Afa Pikein, Hisgara Bohem Acharkach, paragraph EAF, Achehechti Ktsasam Bechete Ega. Now we'll say the greatest anomaly in the entire Torah. How could it be that after we say Na'aseh v'Nishma, how could it be that after we literally hear from God, God speaks to us, mass revelation, Moshe Rabbeinu is gone one more day than we expected, and then what happens? What happens? We build the golden calf. So how could this be? How I don't understand. How could it be that we're on the highest of spiritual heights, Matan Torah, and then we build the golden calf? Look at the right, paragraph F. Vadavar Pela Ma'od. But says this is incredibly difficult to comprehend. May ayin nimshach zos. Where did this sin come from? Sha'achare shepaska zuhumasan v'zachu l'nevuas panim b'panim. How could it be that after we reached level, we spoke to God face to face? Yiplu achakach kolkach. That we had such a terrible fall by chet ha'egel. Ach kolze nimshach me'inyan niskar la'el. Shish kama bechinos p'yitzahara. Va'afilu tzadikim gidolim v'noraim yesh lahem yetzer hara. Avosai says that I have something amazing. Avosai, this is one of the most important truths in life. A bit sobering, but exceptionally important. You can never beat the yetzer hara. Right? You can manage him, you could subdue him, but you can never vanquish him. That, we'll say, that self-sabotaging mechanism that we call the yetzer hara, that is always in us. And it's just, give me 2 seconds, it's just waiting to bubble up, waiting to go out. And again, as soon as you give him a little bit of an opening, he will come. And it doesn't matter what level you're on. You see, we think that, oh, if I only reach a certain level, I'll be able to overcome the yetzer hara. No, the holier I get, the more I'm able to manage him. But he's always there. And the proof to that is that even after Sinaitic revelation, even after Nasa v'Nishma, you could still build a chet ha'egel. Why? Because even when Paro says you could leave Mitzrayim, it's only a matter of time until he gathers up his army and he comes running after you. Paro, the yetzer hara, is always in the rear view mirror. And this is why a person has to live life with a constant vigilance. He says, skip down a little bit. He says, ki afapi, paragraph F, look at the second, did I put 2 F's here? Yeah, it's the second F. So look at the second line in the second F. Ki afapi, shezei yetzer shal tzadikim b'chinas malach hakadosh mamish, v'hu rak b'chinas dinim al yonim. Actually, skip down a little bit more. He says, V'al came. Take a look at paragraph H, excuse me. Therefore, we now understand the statement of Chazal. V'alkein, Amar Rav Yitzchak Levracha, Al Tamin Ba'atzmecha Ad Yom Moscha. I will say, that's why Chazal say in Pirkei Avos, do not believe in yourself until the day that you die. Now, what does that mean? A person should always believe in themselves. What does it mean, don't believe in yourself? It means don't believe that you are above temptation. Don't believe that you are above sin. You know, sometimes people say, oh, I would never commit that avera. We'll say, it's just klal gadol. If the Torah prohibits it, it means that somewhere deep within us, we have a desire for it. And the moment that a person says, I don't know, I would never do a thing like that, we would all do things like that. Right? Given the opportunity, given the right circumstances, we're capable of a whole bunch of really negative types of behaviors. And that's why Chazal say, Al tamin ba'atzmecha ad yomoscha. Don't believe that you have vanquished paro. Don't believe that you've overcome the eternal. So you die. Here's the one positive byproduct of death. Right? What's the best part of death? Right? No yetzihara. Right? So when you die, you can be absolutely sure that you will never be tested again. But until that day, paro is always in the rearview mirror. Even when he lets you go, even when you think you left him behind, even when you think he's in Mitzrayim and you're out in the Midbar, you're free and clear, you're in Eretz Yisrael, just wait. He's going to gather the army, he's going to come after you. Even you think you're at Har Sinai, right? And nothing could touch you, the Chet Egel is very quick to come afterwards. He says, okay, therefore I will say it's very important. Tzrichin tamid litzok el Hashem, ulesalik ulahashtech me'ito kalachachmos, shemem kolabilbulim. I will say, listen to this. That's why in life, so how do we manage this? So now, Rebbe, what you're telling me, right, Rabbi Nachman, what you're telling me is that I can never vanquish Paro. I can never vanquish this. I can manage him. There are times that I could subdue him, but he will always spring back, he'll always come back, and he'll be back with a vengeance. So what do I do? How do I manage this reality? So it's a couple of things. Number one, vigilance. Vigilance. A person should always realize they're never beyond sin. Never trust yourself too much, because we're capable of all types of things. Number two, says the Rebbe, daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu every single day for Siyata Dishmaya. Daven to God every single day for help in combating the Yetzirah. I can't fight Paro by myself. I need the Ribono Shel Olam to help me. Each and every day. Again, you know, we daven for Parnasa, and we daven for health, and we daven for children, and we daven for success, we daven for all the things. We'll say, a person has to daven Ribono Shel Olam. I have taivas, I have desires, I have wants, I have pushes and pulls. I'm davening to you to help me manage them. I can't handle Paro on my own. I can't handle the Egel on my own. I need your help to deal with this with me. I can't do it. I can't do this by myself. Right? Remember, the Rebbe knew this stuff even before the 12-step program. Right? So again, this is it. This is it. I have to appeal to a higher power beyond myself. I can't do this by myself. Ribono Shel Olam, you have to help me with my paros. So number one is vigilance. Vigilance. I am never beyond the possibility of sin. Sin is always lurking right over my shoulder. Number three, Ribono Shel Olam, I'm davening to you. I need you to help me every single day. And lastly, look what he writes. Ulahashlich mi'ito kalachachmos shemehem kalad bilbulim rak lelech be'emes utibitmimus. The as the olam lo yimot ki tzaaka utfilos utchinos ubakashos mo'ilin tamid yihya achshir. I will say, this is another beautiful Yisrael. What's number three? Number three, I will say, is that we have to learn the art of being a simple Jew. You know, sometimes we think that being a good Jew is all about contemplating the theology and the hashkafas, right? Everybody loves to talk hashkafas, right? What's your hashkafa? What's your hashkafa? I will say, the truth is there's only one hashkafa. It's called Torah, right? It's called Shulchan Aruch. That's the hashkafa of the Jew. The Rebbe says sometimes it's much better to be a little less intellectual and to just be a simple Jew. To serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'tibimus. To serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with pashtos. To serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with pshitos. Just a simple approach to serving God. Sometimes to just say, Ribono Shel Olam, I am your servant, and I stand ready to do whatever you want. Says the Rebbe. So what do we take from Rabbi Nachman? We take, number one, that first of all, we now understand why the Torah goes in to such incredible detail in the Mitzrayim story. Because this is not just a national story about Egyptian servitude. This story is the metaphor about us. we're Moshe, always trying to get ourselves out of Mitzrayim. And every single time we make headway, Paro the Yitzhara pulls us right back in. And even when we get out of Mitzrayim, Paro doesn't let us go, he chases after us. The Yitzhara is always there, always lurking, and even if we beat him back a little, he's going to come back, and he'll come back with a vengeance. So how do we, and this is how we understand the Chet HaEgel as well, how do we manage this? Said the Rebbe three things. Number one, vigilance. Person always has to be on guard. You know, sometimes we do bad things in life, and you know what? We're in recovery, so to speak, for like, I haven't done it for a while, so I think I'm free and clear. You're never free and clear. Never free and clear. Person has to live constantly vigilant about the things I've done wrong, about the things that I haven't done wrong, because even the things I haven't done wrong, I'm this close from doing them wrong. So a person just has to live with a sense of vigilance. Number two, daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, p'siyata d'shmaya, every single Bo Shalom. Don't just tell me my parnasa, my health, my children. Help me overcome the pushes and pulls, the paras, the yitzar. Number three, I will say, to try just to be a pasha the yid. Sometimes that's the greatest accomplishment in life. Sometimes the greatest accomplishment of a Jew is not finishing Shas, right? And is not being, all tuned in with all the hashkafic nuances or theology. Sometimes the greatest accomplishment of a Jew is just being a simple Eved Hashem. And sometimes it's through that simplicity that we're best able to manage the Yitzhar, that we're best able to manage the paros in life. All right.